Hello, Voices from the Bench community. Pat Kuhn from Ivoclar here. Innovation and education are inseparable partners in our profession, where continuous change offers you the opportunity to raise the bar of dental care and elevate what is clinically and technically possible. So we at Ivoclar have created Ivoclar Academy, where we support you through cutting-edge educational programs and resources. We understand that you have busy schedules and individual preferences for learning. To help leverage your time and maximize your learning experience, the Academy has educational opportunities that are easily accessible and fit any learning style. Whether you are looking for an in-person program or for virtual education, Ivoclar Academy offers multi-channel opportunities that allow you to learn at home, in the classroom, in the office, or on the go. In addition, we offer CE-accredited learning opportunities. You can receive a certificate of attendance for each CE-eligible program or training course completed from the Ivoclar Academy. Simply log on to ivoclar.com and click on the Academy link located at the top of the page to get started. Happy learning.
Welcome to Voices from the Bench, a dental laboratory podcast. Send us an email at info@voicesfromthebench.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Greetings and welcome to episode 316 of Voices from the Bench. My name is Alvis.
My name is Barbara, and my lucky number 6, so this is going to be a great episode. Even though it's 316, it's still a 6.
Hey, we'll take all the luck we can get, right?
We will.
So last week, we had the great eclipse here in Indiana. We mentioned it a few times on the podcast.
Yeah.
I gotta say, that was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
Seriously?
Yes. The way that in the middle of the day, it got dark, but it was like the sun was setting, but at the 3 o'clock position. So the lighting got really weird. And then when it was in a totality, it was just the coolest thing. It's like you could see the moon with a halo around it. It was so neat. I mean, anyone gets a chance to see a full lunar eclipse, I think it was. The full solar eclipse in its totality. As you could tell, yeah. I'm really scientific. Please do it. Check it out. It was totally worth it.
Oh, they had to like literally pull me from the bench to go look at it because I just didn't give two. I'm sure a lot of people do, and it's amazing. I'm not saying it's just personally, I was too busy to get up to see it. But I put a pair of glasses on. I looked for about 1 second, went back in.
We were sitting out in our driveway, and a couple of neighbors, they started clapping. And we started wondering why. I mean, are you congratulating the moon for moving? It was funny.
There you go.
So, hey, don't forget that this is the last week to order those shirts and zippered hoodies that support the Foundation for Dental Laboratory Technology.
That everybody loves, that logo. So, come on, guys. Let's go.
We are selling a ton of them again. And even though we say it's the last week, it's not even a full week. Because you have until midnight on April 18th, Eastern.
All right.
So don't wait.
Yep. Okay.
If you listen to this episode after the 18th, sorry about you.
And I don't want to see all the Facebook, oh, where'd you get that cool shirt?
Yeah, seriously. They are selling great. And you want to make sure you have one when you come see us at the Jensen booth at the FDLA meeting in Orlando, Florida on June 7th and 8th.
That's precisely a month after we go to Mallorca.
Yeah. So head over to voicesfromthebench.com/shirts or any of our social media pages to get you one today.
All right.
So, Barb, like you mentioned, we are coming up on heading out to Mallorca, Spain. I'm excited. Are you getting ready?
Bro, all I'm doing is looking up fashion so I can go shopping and this weekend. So yes, yeah. I'm getting ready.
So are you buying different clothes for Spain?
Yeah, I am buying a lot of dresses for night. I got to get a couple bathing suits. We're going to go, not scuba diving. What's the other one?
Snorkeling. Very cool.
And we'll go cliff jumping. So yeah.
You're going to jump off a cliff?
Yeah, it's not like a crazy cliff, but it's a cliff. Yes, I'm all in.
Damn.
I'm going to see it good.
That's crazy. I didn't make any of those type of plans. I was just talking about making sure I have enough socks and underwear. Wow.
Barcelona after. I'm staying in Mallorca 3 days earlier to enjoy it. So it's just a different trip for the two of us.
Yeah, you're going in to the island early. We're going to Barcelona after just to kind of check some things out.
Pretty cool.
We're ready. Flights are booked. Passports are updated. We're good to go.
Okay.
This week, we're taking a break from the conversations that we had at Lab Day Chicago 2024 to talk about the exciting event that Barb and I are so getting ready for. Regular listeners of the podcast know that Barb and I have been invited to take the podcast to Mallorca, an island in the Mediterranean Sea off of Spain, on May 9th and May 10th. So why that island? Well, that is where ExoCAD is holding their ExoCAD Insight meeting. And to convince everyone to go, and you should, we had a nice conversation with one of the organizers of the event and one of the speakers, the global head of marketing and communications for ExoCAD, Christine McClaremont, comes on to talk about everything you can expect while attending the ExoCAD Insights meeting, like the different speakers, all the different topics, the Ask the Expert area.
Love that.
And the epic party that's going to be happening on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Of course, we are super thankful for Christine for inviting us to this great meeting. But joining her is also one of the speakers, someone I've actually been following online for a while, Dr. August D. Oliveira. Dr. D. Oliveira will be talking about the role ExoCAD plays in 3D printing in his office. He's not shy around technology at all and talks about his journey, some of the lessons that he's learned, and what he's doing now with virtual reality and augmented reality in dentistry. It's some pretty cool stuff.
I say.
So join us as we chat with Christine McClaremont and Dr. August D. Oliveira. Whether you're looking to elevate your craftsmanship or looking to cut back on cost, look no further.
Vita MFT teeth are the ultimate solution for creating lifelike and stunning smiles.
Crafted with precision and backed by cutting-edge technology, Vita MFT teeth offer unparalleled aesthetics and durability.
And since Vita believes in the power of experiencing excellence firsthand, for a limited time only, they are offering you the chance to get a complimentary case sample.
That's right, a full case, absolutely free. Just visit VitaNorthAmerica.com/free MFT.
Don't wait any longer to start providing your customers a premium tooth at an economy price. Redeem your free case sample, and if you're ready to buy, Vita will even give you an extra 10% off discount by shopping online on their newly launched online store.
Join the Vita family today, and we appreciate your support of the podcast. Voices from the Bench. The Interview. So Barb and I are super excited to talk to two people that are going to be joining us in Spain for the ExoCAD Insights.
Yay!
Yay! First up, we have Dr. August D. Oliveira joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Elvis. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Absolutely. And of course, we couldn't do this without Christine McClaremont. Am I saying that right?
McClaremont with a Y. That's what my
McClaremont.
Dad always said. McClaremont. Yeah. I'm so excited to be here, and thanks for letting me tick that off my bucket list.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. Thank you.
So, Christine, you're the global head of marketing and communications at ExoCAD, right?
Yay. That's right.
Yeah. That's a great title.
Great title.
I love my job.
Yeah. I imagine you don't have much to do, only speaking for ExoCAD around the world.
That's right.
And I think Christine is part of the reason, or the reason, that Elvis and I were invited to the Insights. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm pumped that you'll be there and that I'm here with Dr. August D. Oliveira. And exciting times, really.
Excellent. Yeah. So, Dr. I know about you. I've seen you online, lurking in the background.
No, really?
Yeah, you're that dentist that really hates digital, right? I mean, you're like really against it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you know, bring back, you know, hydrocolloid.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
What was that post you had about all for stone or none for all or something like that?
I probably posted something cheesy. My MO.
Obviously, I'm joking because you're really into digital, like VR headset digital, right? I mean, I see you doing this stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I, son of an electrical engineer, so always grew up around things with wires and keyboards. So I'm comfortable in the digital realm, if you would ask.
Yeah, and you also play around in the dental laboratory space a little bit too, it seems like.
Yeah, the definition of lab is lab light, I guess we could say. Definitely don't get into what you all do on a daily basis, but you know, do some crowns, make some inlays and onlays.
Yeah,
nice.
So give us your history. How did you get into dentistry? What drew you to it? Because you said your dad was what, an engineer?
Yeah, my dad was an engineer. He was disappointed when I told him I wanted to go to dental.
I was wondering.
Yeah, no, my brother is a internal medicine doctor and my cousin was a dentist. And during college, I shadowed both of them for a while, did some volunteering in their practices. And dentistry just kind of was more my jam. You know, there's a certain amount of dread associated with medicine as far as people dying, and I didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing that can die is a dental pulp. So,
so do you and your brother, I mean, does he give you a hard time for being a real doctor compared to?
You know, he never has.
Ah.
You know, I think if you talk to physicians that have self-esteem, they sort of look at dentistry like, okay, that's not something I can do or want to do. And I've never kind of gotten on the doctor high horse.
Yeah.
And so he never gave me a hard time about that. So it was always good. And, you know, after dental school, I, you know, bought my practice, got involved with the world of CAD/CAM via SWEC in 2004. So that makes me really old when it comes to the result.
What'd you start with? Was it just the old CEREC?
Yeah, it was called the Red Cam back then.
Oh, wow.
That stuff. It was right after CEREC became CEREC 3D.
Yeah.
So yeah, I remember that.
They had moved from just inlays onlays to crowns. And yeah, I just kind of, it sort of clicked in my head. And I was interested in implants and I was interested in sort of the world outside of CEREC, which kind of led me to getting an open source mill and getting into 3D printing and photogrammetry. And now VR and AR is kind of my little side hustle.
So how do you have enough time in your day? Because I know you're practicing, correct? How do you have enough time in your day? And when do you fit in all of the knowledge that you have to acquire to get into this sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm just kind of a spaz who in the street. And so I think that, like everyone here, we learn a lot from Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. So, yeah, just in between patients, I might see a post, which is kind of cool. And I tend to be a better Googler than it seems most of the people that respond to my posts are. So, you know, I find stuff by Googling and reading PDFs and watching videos and then incorporating in my practice.
Wow.
When you stepped away from CEREC and you said you were looking for, you know, open source, what did you gravitate towards back in those days?
Well, you know, it was funny. So I got involved in 3D printing about 10 years ago. And at the time, if you probably remember the dreaded program, which must not be named Mesh Mixer, there was so much could do with Mesh Mixer. And there was definitely people that were jerry-rigging it and putting teeth libraries into it, and Blue Sky. Yeah. At the time was pretty much just a guided surgery software.
Yep, yep.
So I bought my first copy of ExoCAD, I think about 9 years ago. And primarily it was just to get models. You know, designing a model in Mesh Mixer was so hard. And I needed to get models for certain things. And the resins at the time were pretty terrible. So, you know, I had a copy of ExoCAD and I didn't really use it that much for a long time until the resins sort of caught up. Now I use ExoCAD almost every day.
So what were you scanning with?
I was scanning with CEREC. At the time, we could, and actually to this day, unfortunately, we could only export to STL through CEREC. So I was scanning with CEREC using either just quadrant models or powdering up the whole mouth. And there was a dreaded sub program called CEREC Ortho that allowed you to capture a full arch not easily. So we used that for a while. And then I got the OmniCam, and now the PrimeScan is nice. My scanner of choice.
So when you first got into the ExoCAD, you were actually making your own models and designing your models and then printing them?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted Geller models, and there were some clever folk trying to do that in MeshMixer. And for me, it was just an 3-hour ordeal. So yeah, we were primarily just for bigger cases. I wanted a physical model. Also liked the concept of having an implant analog model. If I was doing a screw retained crown or an abutment in CEREC and not doing it same day, I kind of wanted to be able to try something on, make sure I didn't, you know, screw up putting in the scan body and having the crown turn 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah, that never happens.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you doing this all yourself, or did you have assistants and staff helping you?
In the beginning, it was so strange, and I wanted to get good at it before I delegated it. So in the beginning, I was doing all the resin tank cleaning and post-processing and all the gross stuff. And then I've been blessed by having a team that's really interested in 3D printing. So now I do the design, especially with implants. Yeah. And then they take it from there. They do the characterizing, they do the printing, post-processing, assembly. So I stay out of their way. when I have something that I'm nerding out about, you know, I can always tell that they're a little pissed because I'm totally messy and leave resin all over the place.
So I'm interested because you use CEREC and you mentioned same day dentistry. Mm-hmm. Are you designing everything in ExoCAD? Are you exporting it?
It depends on the case. You know, for inlays and onlays, I'm 3D printing inlays and onlays and screw retained implant crowns. I don't design hybrids. I have a designer that designs the hybrids, and then we print and characterize the prototype and then send it to a lab to be milled and finished.
Okay.
On bigger cases, I try to do it myself, and I've got a 1-hour rule that if it takes me longer than an hour, I punt to ExoCAD designers who are much better than me. Mm-hmm. And so some days, you know, if it's a simple case or if the patient is, you know, ugly, then I'll design something that's a little more aesthetically critical, then I'll send it out.
So you don't have a lab tech right now in your facility?
I don't. Yeah. My practice is a very, you know, I don't have an associate. It's just me, kind of a small mom and pop shop. So I.
And where are you located? You didn't say.
Oh, sorry. You know, I thought Elvis would have introduced me properly.
Of yeah. Course. That's yes. What you get.
Yeah. I'm in a city called Encino, which is in Los Angeles.
Okay. Excellent. So you send local, so you've got a lab around there that you'll send to and they'll create the hybrids or print or do whatever you need and then they send it back to you finished?
Well, we print the prototype and we work out the occlusion, aesthetics, food packing, fit in the prototype. And then I'll send that STL that I get from my designer to a lab and the lab will mill, sinter, stack whatever porcelain on it. Actually, I've been using, crap. I forgot her last name. I just know her as Marina.
Oh, yeah. We know her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's awesome.
She's been doing
yes.
Yes. Oh, Marina Caparello.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Good choice.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so she does all your work for your full art?
She's been doing it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We sent her a few cases. Before, I would send it to a local lab, Burbank Dental Lab, which did a great job.
Yeah.
Yep, I know them.
I think she's a little kind of more artistic when it comes to the gingiva.
Oh yeah, very.
I had a really tough case with a lady who is from India that had just a kind of, I don't want to say a strange Mahari tone, but definitely something that I've never seen, and she nailed it. So wow. It was pretty awesome.
But she's in Ohio. So yeah. You must communicate a lot with pictures and...
Yeah, pictures, face scans, you know, a lot of Facebook Messenger.
Which is kind of how I roll with a lot of my cases, Elvis. You know, you just go back and forth, and I have clients that are in Ohio, and we definitely need pictures and talk a lot and photographs and everything with the shade guide and the tooth colors and all of that. So
yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
But the face scanning, Barb, do you do that?
No, actually, I don't. I'd like to hear more about that.
What is that process like?
Yeah.
Can I call you Dr. D. Oliveira, or is it just Dr. Oliveira?
Or you could call me August. I think we're all
Well, friends. I could, but that would be rude.
It dispense with the pleasantries. When I call me doctor, it's Dr. D. Oliveira.
Okay.
It's like Da Vinci or DiCaprio. It's a
nice. Okay,
there you go. Okay. I got it. All right, August, so tell us more about face scanning.
Yeah, so back then, we had a really cool iPhone app called Bellus 3D.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, I've heard of that.
It was great. It exported for $1. The teeth were kind of messed up, so it was hard to get a good scan on the teeth. And I think they found that their business model of a face scan for $1 just didn't make any money, so they went out of business. And a number of companies came to the market, and I'm sure you experienced this in the lab world, the magic number for a new device, no matter if it's a lamp or a, you know, a mill, is like $28,000.
Doesn't matter.
Pretty much. Right. Yeah.
It's going to be $28,000. So a number of companies came to market with various face scanners that, you know, have their pluses and minuses. And mm-hmm. I've really been enjoying one called Vectra. So if you're familiar with photogrammetry in yep. the world, right?
Yeah.
The term photogrammetry, when it comes to implants, is actually kind of a mistake. It is photogrammetry, but the process of photogrammetry is really taking pictures from different angles and merging them into a single picture.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas intraoral scanners, desktop scanners, and some face scanners scan with a bazillion pictures and try to merge them. So the Vectra uses photogrammetry with 3 photos. And so there's a lot less distortion in the face. It's easy to take a picture. You know, we take 2 face scans, one retracted and one smiling.
Yep.
And then it can be easily incorporated into exocad. Now, it's not going to be accurate enough to mount a model, but the whole basis behind at least me using a face scanner is to see how the lip drapes sort of over those anterior teeth, see how much gingiva they show, where the midline is, and, you know, more importantly, kind of looking at the patient's profile and how the anterior teeth sort of relate to their profile. And it does all that really well. And I believe it's like $8,000. So it's a lot cheaper.
Mm. And it only takes 3 pictures? Did I understand that right?
It's actually a DSLR camera with a special lens attached to it. So
interesting.
Literally a camera. You take 3, it guides you through kind of a wizard. It's kind of funny. It's actually initially invented for plastic surgeons to show before and after. And some of that involves breast augmentation. So it's kind of funny to see a little boob icon, which, you know, is frowned upon taking pictures of those in dentistry. So, stick above the chin.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, so you pull that up and you design the case around the photo, or you can put the design into the mouth with the photo?
Yeah, well, we use Smile Creator in exocad with the traditional 2D photos.
Okay.
And then as soon as I get to like the tooth placement step in exocad, then I incorporate that. I go into expert mode, tools, add, remove mesh, add the 2 face scans and use 3-point matching to match them to my model. Mm. And so not only do I have the Smile Creator window, but I also have the face scan there and I can turn it off and on during my design. And, you know, I'm constantly rotating the face scan and looking at the patient from different angles. Mm-hmm. And I've really caught a lot of problems that I would have gone through and printed and embarrassed myself in front of the patient with the face scan that I don't think I would have caught just on the model.
Yeah, you specifically mentioned the profile.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at that with a design, like, what does that tell you if they're too, if they're like almost like too far out facially, if they're going to push the lip out, if they're too long?
Yeah. I mean, my problem, and I think that it's a common problem in design, is when you're dealing with the anterior teeth, there's a tendency to procline the upper teeth just to kind of like get away from the lower teeth banging into them. And so I can really kind of look at those teeth and see what kind of compromise I can get by angling those teeth a little more lingually without banging into the lowers. So it helps me, you know, just looking at the patient from the side and seeing what my design looks like from the side, which is not a view you get in Smile Creator.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm a ceramist, so that's why I was trying to wrap my head around that. And that makes perfect sense. I can see where that's huge.
Yeah, and it's three photos. I mean, you don't need a backdrop. You don't need lighting. It has its own lighting. Mm. So, you know, it's just boom, boom, boom. Take, you know, your three photos of the smiling. And if you want to get into the technical stuff, because the three photos distort the teeth in the smiling photo, which doesn't matter because we're going to cut the teeth off, we take a single photo from the front retracted, and that gives us enough detail on the anterior teeth so that we can match that model to our pre-op model. And then in turn, we match the smiling 3D scan to the retracted 3D scan by using the patient's eyes. So the inner camthi, the little weird things that get sleep in them.
The little boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's hard to get those into exocad. But yeah.
That's fascinating.
Well, I'm glad I could actually teach a lab person something about lab stuff.
Actually, totally.
You make it sound like there's a lot of clicking and things to do, but is it pretty easy with exocad?
You mean matching up the scans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you use 3Shape or exocad, Elvis?
I shouldn't say, but I use mostly 3Shape with work.
Oh, okay. But I mean, you've brought models in.
Sure.
Match them. So it's the same process. You're just, you know, picking at least 3 or 4 points. Most I usually do like 12. And match the initial retracted 3D scan.
Yep.
And then visualize it. And then once that's in, the second scan comes in with 3 or 4 points. So it's pretty easy.
And as Marina works on it, she can shoot back the design before you give it a thumbs up, or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We go back and forth with the design. If she's milling something that's already been designed, then obviously there's no design.
Sure.
She shows me pictures of the characterization.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, guys. Hey, Christine, I don't mean to stop doctor, but how are you? And let's include you here. What's happening?
Yeah, and a lot of what Dr. De Oliveira said, I can really just mirror. So, and Elvis, you can still come too. We welcome all. No, so definitely on the Smile Creator, I think for many doctors, and I think actually, if I can quote you, Dr. De Oliveira, you once said, dentists don't necessarily want to be a MacGyver. And I loved that show as a kid, but I think as Smile Creator is actually a good tool that dentists can start out with and really experience how easy it is to integrate digital dentistry into their practice. And by that, we don't mean let go of your lab. If anything, you're creating more work for yourself and your lab and your ceramist. There's the one doctor I know, once she introduced Smile Creator to her office and was able to show a patient what they would look like with 4, 6, 8 veneers. Mm-hmm. You know, that is so emotional. It's such a powerful tool. And so in terms of case conversion, you know, that specific doctor really, had a dramatic increase in work for herself. And for her ceramists. So it's really, for us, it's all about collaboration and growing your capabilities along, you know, along with the software. So you can definitely, it's definitely a strong, powerful software. And we have many expert users, and they will come to Insights to learn all the tips and latest tricks, and about the, you know, latest features like copy denture or scan repair tool or stuff like that. But equally, we will have lab techs thinking about bringing in exocad, dentists, perhaps even starting out on their digital journey. And, you know, you can really start off with exocad as a beginner and then grow with it. And actually, just a few weeks back, when I also saw you guys in Chicago, I heard from quite a few lab technicians that they are really becoming stronger partners and a doctor's go-to when it comes to onboarding digital dentistry. So yeah, I just really want to mirror what Dr. De Oliveira said. So it's definitely, I can really only invite everyone to come to Mallorca and to see what digital dentistry is all about and what it has to offer to your workflow, you know, that you may have. And every setup, of course, is different. I mean, we last time we had participants from all over the world. And of course, setups are different. The US markets is very progressive. And of course, Dr. De Oliveira is really on the cutting edge. You know, of course, not everybody can or wants to be a trailblazer, but it's, you know, you can start slowly, but I think it will increase, just actually make collaboration easier with between the lab and the dentist. And I think for me, that's what sets Insights apart from other dental events. I've been to a couple shows. And so I think what is different for us is that under one roof, we bring lab techs together, we bring dentists together. This year, for the first time, we're including clinical teams, because we want to take a holistic approach and educate everyone along that workflow and how they can ultimately deliver, you know, better patient care. And that is just really close to my heart as well. So,
yeah.
Well said.
I agree. So when you create a meeting such as Insights or an mm-hmm. event like that, how much work goes into it? How do you and I don't know the answer, but you know, like, you know, when you're thinking about doctors talking versus lab techs and how to bring that material to the masses, like, how do you guys pick and choose? And
I mean, in terms of workload, of course, it's supposed to look easy, but there is a reason why we do this biannually in a non-IDS year, because in an IDS year, that takes a major priority and takes a lot out of the team, I won't lie. But also we want to use, I will call them the gap years in between, because we want to provide a space for the industry to meet and talk about innovations in those years. And also for the 50 plus material and equipment manufacturers to come and show what they have in store, and for everyone in the industry to try this out. And so I, you know, it's really, for us, collaboration is key, and we want to show how dentists and labs can work together better, how labs can stay relevant. And I know this is always a big topic on your podcast, and again, I'm a big fan. So for us, that's really important. And when we, of course, see, and I mean, I've known Dr. De Oliveira for many years now, and of course, we follow what he does. So, you know, we want to show the cutting edge. We want to show and have speakers there that really push the boundaries of digital dentistry and also of our software. And at the same time, we want people on stage that, you know, can then break it down. And I think, you know, Dr. De Oliveira, he's known as a mentor and a brilliant educator. And I think for him to talk about, and he will talk about 3D printing for the general practitioner, you know, will make this so valuable, even for the beginner digital GP that comes to Insights. That's kind of how we choose. We want people that want to help us develop the industry with us, that give us valuable feedback on our software, and of course, to have a representation of speakers from all over the world, because it's really for us, it's a global event. Wow. And we want to serve that community. So of course, a couple of brainstormings go into there. We make suggestions. And yeah, for me also personally, it's important to have female speakers up on stage. That was something that, I kind of took pride in changing maybe a little bit, because we see the audience changing. We have, you know, around 70% female doctors come out of dental school. We also see more and more cat designers that are female. And so we really also want to represent that up on stage, so within the program. And this year, for the first time, we're introducing a panel discussion. And I thought, since I'll be moderating the event, but to mix it up and make it more edgy in terms of questions we can ask, I thought it would be super to have Elvis to co-host that panel with me. And I'm super excited that you agreed to do that. So I think,
what could go wrong?
A lot to learn, right? No, so I'm super excited. And then of course, you know, we'll have a celebration as we do on the evening of the first night. So we all look forward to that. So yes, a lot of planning goes into it, but I can tell you at Exocad, we're all super excited for it already.
Excellent.
Can't wait to see everyone.
So tell us, Elvis, tell us a little bit about your panel.
I have no idea. as far as I know, the speakers on the first day, Christina and I, at the end of the day, will gather the speakers from day one and get the extra gems out of them, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah. I go into these things as I go into the podcast with zero prep and see how it goes.
So. I don't think with Christine by your side, that's going to happen this time.
Yeah. Sounds like the exact opposite to me, but that'll be the beauty of it. No, I can't wait.
It's going to be great. And Dr. De Oliveira, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about 3D printing for general dentists. So okay. Great. 3D printing in your practice, what kind of procedures you can do. And, you know, Exocad plays a big part of that. So kind of go into how I go about my day to day with my printers going.
Yeah. One of my favorite questions I get from dentists when I go chairside is like, hey, I really want to get a printer. Which one should I get?
Oh, yeah.
And I always have to remind them that you need some sort of software to make the thing you want to print. And they don't seem to understand that.
Yeah, when it's been better, but when 3D was in its infancy, I just always thought it was funny that people would just literally scan a patient and then try to throw the STL into the printer and wonder why it was failing.
Yeah.
It's a shell of like 1/1000th of a micron, but it's not going to print, dude. You need to tweak it a little bit.
Do you find, between the both of you, my question is to both of you, do you find that more and more of the younger doctors are getting into this, or is there a nice mix of the doctors that want to get into printing and the software and designing?
Yeah, there's a nice mix. So at the Mod Institute where I teach, we're pretty heavy on the Exocad side. And I find that there's, you know, young docs that just are jazzed about dentistry in general, and they tend to pick it up pretty well. Then we have some, let's just say, dentists of advanced age. That
experienced. They're experienced.
Don't know how to double click, and you got to show them what the little scrolly wheel is on a mouse. That's always
fun. Right click. No, the other right click.
Yeah. My favorite is, instead of double clicking, they'll click and hold like a folder and just move it all over the screen. And I'm like, no, it's not supposed to work like that. You know, just click it twice fairly quickly.
So where's the first place, if I was a young dentist, like what would you want? What are they mostly gravitating towards doing themselves nowadays that you're seeing?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's the smart ones that kind of say, okay, look, I'm going to start with night guards and surgical guides and maybe do my own aligners. Mm-hmm. And then we have these other ones that buy, you know, the 3D printing scanner cone beam mega pack.
Oh my gosh.
They go from not being digital to having, you know, $200,000 of equipment in their office and a mill. And with those people, it's kind of hard to kind of rein them in. and say, okay, look, you know, you got to do it like we did it back in the day, you know, start with something really easy, then feel comfortable with that procedure, then go to the next. So start on an onlay instead of, you know, a hybrid as your first technique. So yeah, you know, the older docs kind of know their limitations, and I think the younger docs tend to be a little more gutsy when it comes to stuff. And you know, we teach in sort of very stepwise fashion to get them to doing more advanced cases, but kind of saying, hey, look, when you go back to your office on Monday, why don't you start with a MO?
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice.
Yeah. We also see a lot of interest in creating digital wax-ups. That's something a lot of doctors want to start with. And then also we are getting a lot of requests from universities because many of them around, and this goes for South America, Germany, the US, they're changing their curriculum. And oftentimes the professors there, they need a little bit of support in onboarding exocad into their learning. And then we go in and support and help them build out their goals for the new generation of dentists. And I find that personally very exciting to be part of that because it's a whole different way of learning for that generation, obviously, if you get to practice at university. And then also what we see in a number of trainings is a growing numbers of associate dentists that go to trainings, they pay for it themselves, and they also want to know how to use CAD software, even though they don't have their own office, they maybe don't have the buying decision for bigger pieces of equipment, but they can and will buy a dongle, first of all, for a standalone module, let's say like Smile Creator, because then they have something additional that they can bring to the table when they go for, you know, perhaps for a new job or go and join a DSO or just a larger practice. So this is also a trend we're seeing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that it's really cool universities are getting into digital, but, you know, I think as a rite of passage, every dentist and lab technician needs to know the joy of the Pindexing machine and your dyes and drilling off your margins.
You got to burn yourself sometime.
Yeah.
Using a wax spatula.
But I'll tell you, if it takes exocad to get removables back into the dental schools, I'm for it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. There's such a push for digital dentures, and I think digital dentures have really come a long way from what we had 7 or 8 years ago with NextDent's products. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, there's studies showing that printed dentures are just as strong as processed. I think, definitely need a little bit more flair in your gingival technique when it comes to 3D printing versus processing. But yeah, that would be fun to get rid of in dental school. I took the California boards when I moved to California, and there was part of the boards was a full denture wax up.
Oh my word. You're kidding me.
No, I remember handing mine in and a dude next to me tripping and dropping his articulator and smashing his wax up and the look of dejection on his face.
Did he cry? I bet he cried.
I think that he was holding back tears. He wasn't actually bawling, but I would be bawling because I'm a little more of a fancy guy than
Are you doing any digital dentures in your practice?
Not really, to be honest with you. I practice in a kind of a fairly wealthy area.
Okay, sure.
So the number of arches I do per year is I can count on half a hand. Yeah. So I don't do a lot of digital dentures, but you know, we do some immediates if we're going to be taking a patient into a hybrid and we want something to back us up.
Yeah, because Christina, exocad. They do digital dentures, right?
I mean, yes.
Yeah. That's relatively new, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You can now design Ivotion dentures, which I mean, those pucks are just really cool. Of course, they come at us as they're probably more, like the higher end, right? And to Dr. D. Oliveira's point, what I find exciting about digital dentures is that you can also make them more affordable. In, you know, perhaps in regions where there's limited dental care. And we actually had, we're in connection with a charity that we're providing dentures in southern USA. You know, with digital dentures, it makes it so easy, for example, with a new feature that we have, to replace an existing denture if it breaks.
Yeah. Right?
So it's, you know, you can copy an existing denture, create a new one on the basis of the previous one. And also the treatment of edentulous patients is just, you know, treatment options are getting better, treatment planning, because that can be very difficult. So yeah, even though not everyone is doing digital dentures, it's definitely a very exciting topic. And I think we will see a lot of growth here. There's definitely a lot of talk about it.
Absolutely. It's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So Dr. De Oliveira, what are you doing with VR and AR? What is that all about?
Yeah. So during COVID, you know, in the People's Republic of California, where I practice, they pretty much shut us down for, God, a solid 2 months or so.
Yeah.
Yes, and they did.
A lot of time on my hands. And it's kind of funny, actually, if I could wax philosophical for a moment. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not a dentist. I am August the person. And I think what I realized was I am August the dentist. And if I can't do dentistry, then I'm kind of feel worthless. So I was looking for stuff to do. I tried to refinish my outdoor furniture, and that was like a disaster.
Yeah.
So I just thought to myself, you know, what am I interested in? What am I good at outside of dentistry? And there wasn't many things that came to mind. But I was good with computers, and I always kind of wanted to learn how to code. So I took a night class and on VR and AR coding. And I had two projects. My kind of one closest to my heart is using augmented reality to superimpose a DICOM format, a cone beam, basically onto the patient's face. So we have guided implant navigation systems like XNAV.
Yep.
And this would be, rather than looking at a screen, you would be actually looking at a patient, seeing the adjacent teeth root, seeing the nerve, seeing the sinus, seeing where the bone is, actually superimposed on the patient as you're working on it and being able to track your drill.
But wearing the big eye goggle thing.
You would have to wear the big eye goggle thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are familiar with the MetaQuest, and then I just got the Vision Pro. Those are fairly large devices.
Yeah.
And so those are... They'll say they're AR, but they're not AR. They're what's called mixed reality or VR.
Mm-hmm.
Augmented reality glasses are much smaller. And so they look a little bit more like, you know, kind of weird steampunk glasses.
But yeah, sure.
They're lighter on your face than like the Vision Pro is. It feels like, you know, a kettlebell on your face.
Yeah.
So.
But you're doing this? You're looking at a patient and you can see the bone superimposed on their face?
Yeah. So we got involved with a company called Magic Leap that makes an augmented reality device. And we got together with the University of Iowa. And we found that at the time, between the Microsoft HoloLens and the Magic Leap, the accuracy just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So we had to introduce external infrared cameras. Are you familiar with motion capture, what people will use, like green screens?
Oh yeah, the little, like their ping pong balls all over.
Yeah. So stuff like that. And we got the accuracy a little bit better, but it wasn't there. So we're still working on it. It looks like the Magic Leap 2 may have accuracy up to 100 microns. So that got shelved for a bit, and I'm starting it back up. I bought the Vision Pro, but I don't think the Vision Pro is non-big game development company friendly. So yeah. I may not pursue that as much as I want to. The second project would be education in VR. So when you do hands-on exercises rather than just watching a webinar, you can actually pick up stuff and place implants and make dentures and do whatever using hand tracking. So there's no joysticks.
Wow, that would be neat to do like a VR implant placement.
Yeah. Dr. De Oliveira, do you take summer interns? I'd really love to see that magic happen.
Go on down. Anything for you, Christine. We go way back.
That's crazy. That's super exciting because I'll never have a chance to place that implant, but I'd love to do it virtually.
So I'll send you a MetaQuest. I've got a little demo.
Nice. I'll totally check that out.
Yeah.
Why aren't you talking about that at Insights? That's neat.
It's pretty theoretical.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to adopt Monday morning. So
sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Everybody will go home and grab their kids' old VR headset. The ones that you used to put the cell phones in. Remember those?
Yeah. I got a few of those.
I'll start doing dentistry.
Yeah. Well, surprisingly, I got the most accuracy matching. You know how we match models in 3Shape and
you
in Blue Sky. I got the highest accuracy from an iPhone 11. Just literally taking my iPhone and, you know, having my assistant sit in the chair, and I could just basically throw the STL at her and it would match actually quicker than ExoCAD Blue Sky could ever do. So it definitely can see the Vision Pro exploring that in the medical field.
Gotta love a good iPhone, man.
Yeah.
So Christine, let's talk about some of the other speakers that are going to be at Insights. August, do you need to take off?
I probably should. I got a patient in about 15 minutes.
That's what
all
I
right. Well, we appreciate you, sir. Thank and we're you. Looking forward to seeing you in Spain.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, Christine, give us the dirt. Let's talk about some of these other people.
Let's do it. Yeah. So, very excited. On the first day and on our panel discussion, we will have also Dr. Miguel Stanley from Portugal. He does amazing things, kind of a Hollywood dentist himself. I think Ronaldo and Madonna go there. I've seen him on his Facebook. So yeah, he does really cool stuff in his office. And so he's actually going to talk about the power of avatars. So it's all about the digital patient. So that's going to be exciting to ask him some extra questions during the panel. Then we have a master dental technician, Idris Rasta, also with us on the panel discussion.
Nice.
And he's going to talk about occlusion. So I think this is going to be a very interesting topic, obviously, for our lab techs that will attend. And we're looking at a probably 70-30 or 60-40 breakdown, lab technicians versus
doctors.
That's really good.
Wow. Yeah, and then also on the panel, we'll have Vincent Vamer. He's also a master dental technician, and he's going to talk about the newest, latest in prosthetic materials and latest techniques for fixed restoration. So I think that'll also be a very, very interesting topic. And then we have a duo that's speaking on day one also, Ashley Byrne. He's also a master dental technician out of the UK, and he's teaming up with Dr. Marcus White. They're going to talk about the iTero Exocad connector, which is, all about the seamless workflows. And I think that's in part of what Dr. De Oliveira touched on earlier, what's so great about Exocad software is that it's open. It's an open software. You can integrate almost any hardware for scanning desktop scanners, intraoral scanners, and then on the production sides, 3D printers, milling machines. The choice is really yours with Exocad. And just to show that and then have, as Dr. De Oliveira, he's on the West Coast and then he's got Marina working for him in Ohio, and they can easily communicate via dental share and, send the cases right across. And then also all of the scans, the design files, everything is in one place. And I think that's really the beauty of the software and brings it back to the collaboration piece. So yeah, so we'll have those. And then also on the clinical stream that Dr. De Oliveira is speaking on day two, we'll have Dr. Elaine Helly. And she's going to talk about digital tools for diagnosis and treatment planning. And I think, again, this is going to be a tool for doctors that may think about going digital, how to get into digital dentistry. And so excited to have her there. And then we have some more speakers on day two. And we've got some great two female speakers that have teamed up, and that's really going to mess up my accent because I'm actually half Scottish. And so we have one Scottish doctor up on main stage. So my accent's going to come right through. Dr. Emma O'Connell and Christina Vitaliti, a dental technician, and she's down in England.
Yeah, so we know her.
Yeah, we know her.
So she is super amazing. And they're going to talk about their collaboration and multidisciplinary treatment planning, which is becoming more and more important. If you think, you know, where maybe, you know, some people may say, okay, dentists are more interested in prepping and placing, you know, prep less, you know, think minimally invasive. And I know Dr. Miguel Stanley is a big fan of that. If you can collaborate and really only prep the tooth mass that is absolutely, you know, critical for the case and create a restoration that will fit, you know, no remakes. I think it makes for a better patient experience.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that they'll be talking about that. And then also I have to say, we have some surprises in store.
Come on.
For the audience. Oh, so, that. Of course. So you'll be among the first to hear what we have. So
yes, and all our listeners.
That's right. So yeah, no. So yeah, we have some exciting stuff. The future really looks bright. I love digital dentistry. I think we're in a great sector because it's all happening and it's so fast paced. So yeah, it's great. And then so for the first time, actually, we have a separate stream dedicated to dental assistants and hygienists because we feel they need to also embrace digital workflows. And oftentimes we see that in a practice, they play a critical role in, you know, patient conversion and patient engagement. So equipping 100%. Them.
Yeah, that's a great point. You guys are well ahead of the curve on that. That is so true. They can help design the case and sell the case.
Right. Yeah. And perhaps even intraoral scan, you know, again, giving the doctor some time back to treat other patients. And so we really want to elevate, you know, their responsibilities and kind of their role within the practice and within the entire workflow, really. So I look forward to that stream. And then we have another speaker. We welcome him on main stage for the second time, Dr. Guillermo Saavedra. He's joining us from Brazil. And I could, without saying too much, but he will really have an extremely beautiful case with him. Yeah, truly, he will show how to build an award-winning smile. So that's, yeah, definitely exciting presentations. And I think something in there for everything. And of course, we will bring our own Exocad experts. You know, many of our application specialists are well known in the market. They will tell everyone about the latest and greatest in our software. So for, you know, power users that really want to deep dive and learn more how to get the most out of their Exocad dongle, then those sessions are for those people. So I think we really have something for everyone, plus the partner sessions that our sponsors are putting on, where you have shorter sessions that you can come and attend and learn about latest in materials and equipment and really get a great overview of the market all in one place. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to bring it all together. Yeah, and then, right, we have a discount, right, for your listeners as well. Yep. Yeah, excited about that too.
So people can show up and just sit down with an expert and ask questions and they'll show you exactly what you, I mean, like one-on-one?
Yeah, so we have an expert corner. So we will have three Exocad counters for each of our major softwares with experts. So you can come up and speak to them. You can even bring a problem case if you so want. And yeah, and speak to our experts. Yeah, or go into the sessions. There'll be the opportunity to ask questions. We also have a special corner within our exhibition for our so-called ICTPs. These are independent certified trainers that, and Dr. De Oliveira, actually, he is a brand new ICTP. Yeah, so it's really, it's a thorough process that these users have to go through, take an exam so that they can call themselves that. And they will also be there. So, you know, you can, again, go up to those people, speak to them, ask them about their experience or their advice. They also offer training classes. So yeah, I think really if you utilize the entire 2 days of networking and education, you'll go home with the opportunity to lead.
A lot more knowledge, that's yeah. for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and 12 CE credits. So we also offer those. Also to, U.S. Participants.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do I understand it correctly that when we do our panel, there's you, me, and 3 master dental technicians up on stage?
Yep.
Yowzer. The hell am I going to ask that they don't already know?
You do this every week.
All right, we got this.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting. I really look forward to a great dialogue between, you know, the master dental technicians that we'll have on the panel and also the doctors. I think, yeah, it should be quite inspiring to all of the listeners.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think it's an excellent wrap up to the day. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that come and they see that can, you know, maybe ask a question that they didn't get to ask, you know, when they were in the lecture.
Yeah, that's right. And they can actually send in their questions digitally throughout the day. And then we can actually pick and choose from those as well. Nice. So we don't have to come up with our entire own list of questions.
So I also want to ask about Friday is the first day?
Thursday.
I want to ask about the Thursday pearly white night party. So I'm having a debate with my wife about what this means. Does this mean everybody dresses in white?
They can. It's an invitation to every, you know, we're thinking it's May. It is in a nice location.
Yeah.
In Mallorca, the sun mostly shines. So why not, you know, wear your flowing whites, you know, shirts, dresses. You don't have to. It's not a theme party. But actually for people that come without white clothing and would like to wear their whites, yeah, we'll be launching a new charity t-shirt that will be for sale. And this year it's going to be a white t-shirt. So I could say that much already.
That's brilliant.
I look forward to the design. Yeah.
I love it.
So if I wore the all white Elvis jumpsuit, would I fit in or not fit in?
Absolutely. I have my white dress already, so we'll be good.
Somehow I can totally see you doing that, Elvis.
I know, but I don't think she'll let me.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll be disappointed if you don't. Yeah, no. And there'll be dinner and dancing and music and just the opportunity to network, you know, meet old friends, make new ones within the industry. It's just a great, relaxed way of meeting with everyone after a long day of education and preparing for day 2. So it's usually a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I've been to an all white party and they are a lot of fun. And I love how you've themed it. Totally see Elvis wearing his suit though.
Can't wait. Yeah, and then also we should totally call out that you both will be recording live on the show floor, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So excited, yeah. Barb and I are, to be able to talk to people that we probably won't get a chance to ever again because we're in this whole other part of the world. I mean, it's so exciting.
And oh, yeah, by the way, Marina is actually also coming. She's registered for the
I know.
She and I talked about it on Facebook that she was coming. So I can't wait to see you in person.
Yeah, so it's nice.
Well, we can only wrap this up by saying May 9th to the 10th. In Mallorca, Spain. I think I'm saying that right, right?
Yes, you are. Yep.
Yep. An island off of Spain. Don't I need to say more? exocad.com/insights2024.
Be there or be square, y'all.
See you soon.
Excellent. And Christina, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And as Barb likes to remind us, I guess we'll see you in about 2 months.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
See you soon. Bye.
A huge thanks to Dr. D. Oliveira and Christine for coming on our podcast and getting us super hyped up for the ExoCAD Insights 2024 meeting happening in, you know it, less than a month, May 9th and May 10th. Guys, there's still time to book some flights and get registered. Come on, you're dental technicians. This is awesome. You love doing things last minute, that's for sure. And what better thing to do last minute than heading to an island off of Spain and hanging out with other exocad-loving dental nerds? So head over to exocad.com/insights2024, get registered, and use the code VFTB15 to save 15%. We cannot wait to see all of the amazing speakers lined up. And don't forget, Mr. Elvis will be on stage with some of them at the end of the first day. And I know I got to ask this. Are you nervous yet?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you that I wasn't. And then we had like a conference call with some of the people on stage. Them some smart dudes. Yeah, I'm a little nervous now.
Oh, no. Yeah. Whew. Well, you're going to do amazing. It's going to be an amazing meeting. Let's just go and have a great time.
It's going to be great. Hopefully some of you will join us.
Hopefully, y'all. Come on. Let's go.
All right, everybody. That's all we got for you. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great one.
Bye.
I got to go re-glaze that bridge.
The views and opinions expressed on the Voices from the Bench podcast are those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the host or Voices from the Bench, LLC.